With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Well, go to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin tonight. Tonight's message is called The Position of Love. This is the position that you are in Christ, okay? Because when you're walking in love one to another, you put yourself in a position to receive. You put yourself in a position to be protected. You put yourself in a position where God's favor goes before you. You put yourself in a position where God's provision will be abundant in your life. You know, and I think that we need to understand, you know, we talk about sins, especially now in our political climate, the things that our governments of the world are now condoning and almost celebrating. We have to understand that there are sins that keep people out of the presence of God, but, you know, there are sins in the body of Christ that keep us out of the presence of God. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and we used Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory as an example that, you know, Charlie got the golden ticket, and so did, I think there was four or five other kids got the golden ticket. So they all got to go into the Chocolate Factory. When we receive Jesus as our Lord, heaven belongs to us. But my goodness, that's not what it's all about. Because he wants us to be victorious here and now. He wants us to live above the system here and now. He wants us to be able to make a difference in this world right now. We don't need to be healed when we're in heaven. We won't need to have our tears blotted away because there won't be any. Come on. We won't need silver and gold in heaven because everything will be provided for us generously. So these things, these promises that we find in the Word of God come to us through faith, right? And I believe it's in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says in the King James that faith worketh by love. And see, I think in the body of Christ that there are certain subjects that we need to keep pounding on until we get it and we're living it, producing the fruit of the Spirit. And faith is one of those, but it's not the major, if anything. Being led by the Spirit is one of those, but it's not the major. Because you could say you have faith, but if you don't have love, your faith doesn't work like it should. And you could say you hear from the Holy Ghost, but if you don't walk in love, your spiritual ears are going to be deafened. They're going to be a little plugged up. And so, since God is love, and His love has been shed abroad in our heart, then we need to learn to walk in love. And the longer that I do this, the more I know it has nothing to do with feelings. I wish it did, but it doesn't. You know, when you walk in love, there is a suffering that you partake of. When you choose to love somebody despite the way they act or the way they speak to you or what they do or do not do that you expect of them, when you walk in love beyond that, that just simply means you, listen, sometimes you just grit your teeth and you bite your tongue and you say, well, praise God. Can I buy you a cup of coffee? And that's walking in love. But see, Satan's got us convinced that if we don't feel it, then we're fake. Okay, Romans chapter 5, let's go there. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You guys notice there's a word that's being used over and over again here, it's in. And through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So the conduit, or the avenue in which God's love comes to you and to me, which enables us to walk in love, is through the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that God is Spirit. God is, He lives in an unapproachable light. And it says that God is love. And so when God's Spirit is inside of you, then the love of God is inside of you. Now, it's not just so that you can feel better about people. It's a strength that enables you to walk in love. It is like gasoline in a car. It's like electricity in a battery. It gives you the ability to do the thing that defies gravity, that gives you the ability to move when you don't feel like moving, to say things that you don't feel like saying. All of us are really good about saying the things we feel we want to say. Am I right? I mean, when we feel angry, it's easy to speak in anger, right? When you feel like doing something, it's easy to yield to the feelings and the emotions. You guys, God's ability to walk in love, to stay in a position of provision and prosperity and protection, it has an enabling power within you. Okay? It's not in your head, because if you go to your head for the strength to try and walk in love, guess what? You're going to end up with no power. And you'll end up probably just rehearsing the thing that you've practiced. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been in an argument with your husband or your wife or your mother or your sister or your boss, and you've practiced that argument over and over again in your head, and you say, well, when you get there and that she says what you think she's going to say, or he says what you thought he was going to say, then it all comes out, all that rehearsed stuff. But it comes out with a power, doesn't it? Do you know what I'm talking about? When you're speaking in anger, or you're speaking in out of frustration, it comes out in a power. And you tap into something that you know in God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, the same is true with the love walk. When you tap into the love walk, it seems foreign. Because you're not operating out of your head, you're pulling from your heart. You're pulling the Spirit of God into it to give you the strength to do something your body doesn't feel like doing. Why doesn't your body feel like doing it? Because there are certain chemicals your body releases. Endorphins would be one of them. Adrenaline would be another. You know, a testosterone would be one. There are things that you release when you're put into a position where, you know, you feel trapped, to where you feel like you're not getting what you want, but you don't know how to communicate it. So your body sets yourself up to respond naturally. But God's love inside you sets you up to respond spiritually. And it's not easy, because it doesn't seem like it's our first nature. Because for 20 years or 30 years, somebody could have been born again for 50 years and have never knew how to walk in love. So for 50 years, that person has walked out of reasoning or logic or predetermined arguments. Or maybe they learned how to debate when they were in high school, and they've applied it to everything in their life since, how to win an argument. But see, love doesn't do any of those things. What love does is it doesn't get louder, it stills itself. Love doesn't rehearse things that somebody did wrong. Love chooses not to let it come out of their lips. Come on. And love doesn't corner somebody, but love releases them. What love does is it makes us very vulnerable to hurt. That's why, let's read this again. I want you to understand, when it's talking about suffering, he's not talking about sickness and poverty and disease and weakness, because God said, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the blind say, I can see. He said, let the poor say, I am rich. So he's not talking about that kind of suffering. He says, though we have gained access, verse 2, by faith into this grace in which we now stand, say, in which I stand. Say it again, in which I stand. And which we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Because that suffering produces perseverance. That's the ability to stay in the place that God wants you to stay, called love. You know, do you know what I mean by walking in love? If you're walking in love, you bite your tongue. You give more than you think is wise. You may expose yourself. I kind of think it like this. I turn my back on somebody who already has the dagger in their hand. Or like my aunt and my mom used to cut chickens' heads off. I remember we'd wash through the windows. It was kind of cool, gory. But you know, they'd stretch their necks out and then they'd chop them with a hatchet. Well, I always see it as love always stretches their neck out and puts it on the chopping block. And it's up to that person whether or not they're going to cut your head off. Love always gives more than what it seems wise. Because love, listen, when you really walk in love, you leave all of the protection up to God. When you really walk in love, you trust Him with your very life. When we normally don't walk in the power of love, we have some kind of reserve plan of how we're not going to let them get the best of us. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this is not our carnal nature, our fleshly nature, but this is now our new nature. That's why when you don't walk in love, you get all upset on the inside. Thank God you do. When you don't walk in love, you feel slightly disconnected from God, don't you? And it's not just, listen, it's just not your body, the way it responds with chemicals, and it's just not your thoughts, because it's deep down in the pit of who you are. There's something that's not lining up. And what that is we're coming out of the position that God wants us to be. And you could say that's a position to receive all of God's grace. It's a position to receive all of God's promises. It's a position to receive everything that God has predestined for you that is good. And I think we teach a lot about faith. And we here in this church teach a lot about faith. But sometimes you could be believing all the right things, doing all the right things, but when it comes to your mother-in-law, or maybe your husband or your wife, or that one kid of yours that's just running contrary all the time, you don't walk in love with them. You know what that does? That affects you. It affects the way that you perceive your position with the Father. So what we're going to go through tonight is we're going to prove through the Scripture about how when we stay in the love walk, in this position of love, that we're able to access the goodness of God. Okay? Let's go by Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, and we'll start there. Guys, we might teach a little bit tonight. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. Because, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than doing everything right and then not receiving the things from God that you know that are yours. There's nothing. And you say, well, what is it, God? You know, it's like the heavens are brass. I pray and it doesn't seem to reach heaven. It seems like I'm all alone. It seems like you're not speaking to me, God. And most of the time, that is because we're not walking in love. We're out of position. We're out of position to receive. Say amen. So, guys, how do you receive from God when you put yourself out of position? It's not by faith, because your faith works by love. It's by grace. That's why I love God's grace. I love God's mercy, because, you know, there are times when I sovereignly I receive something from God, and I didn't do anything to get there. But if you want some ability to provoke God's goodness in your life, we've got to learn to walk in love one with another and with the world. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Listen, we'll do verse 5. For through the Spirit, that's where the love of God is, we eagerly wait by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts, and underline that word counts if you're in the NIV, is faith expressing itself through love. So the only thing that really, if something counts in my book, it's because God deems it notable. In other words, if he says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, that's important to me. I don't really care what you say about that subject regarding me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. If he says that I'm holy because he's holy, then I'm going to believe that, even though my feelings might not line up with that. So if the only thing that counts for him is my faith that's expressed in love, then I want to learn how to walk in love. And I'll tell you what, I was not raised in a family or in a school system or even in a country where love was taught. I heard the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have done unto you, but we didn't really practice it. And so for 30 years plus, I even was preaching and seeing people in the nations baptized and seeing people in the nations healed and thousands of people come to the Lord, but I didn't know how to walk in love. Because when I was trying to walk in love, I kept hearing this voice, oh, you're just being fake. Ah, she's just fake. She doesn't really mean it. Well, hold on, you don't have to mean it to walk in love. Did you hear me? If you don't feel it, then you have the opportunity to walk in faith by love. You're using faith to walk in love. Now, if you felt that way, then you just got the ooey gooeys, and that's not going to credit anything. It's like if you bear up underneath a beating that you didn't deserve, the Bible says now that can be credited to you. But if you did something wrong and somebody, you know, puts a slap down on you, then you can't go to God and say, oh, God, look what happened to me. He'll go, yep, you deserved it. But what's credited to you is when you take a beating. This is back in the day when they used to beat their workers. If you take a beating because you were sloughing off. But if you'd been working hard and you take a beating, now God credits something to your account there. Does that make sense? So if somebody persecutes you because of righteousness and your faith in Jesus Christ, now that can be accredited to your account. But if somebody persecutes you because you're being a butt, you get no credit. So the only thing that is credited to my account is when I do something, because without faith it's impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. But so it's impossible to please him. So what pleases God is faith, but if I'm not walking in love while I'm walking in faith, it doesn't please him. I could build empires for the Lord Jesus Christ. I could build massive churches and fill them with people. And I could get to heaven. He says, you get no credit, boy. Because you were such a bulldog. You were such a task-oriented person. You couldn't see the humanity. You put a wall up between you and people, and nobody could ever touch you. You made yourself untouchable. Well, you know, being a pastor, sometimes you got to do that in certain situations. And, you know, the more you step after the Lord, you'll make yourself more and more vulnerable to hurt. Being able to walk in love when you're hurting requires a supernatural ability of God we call love. And his love has been put inside of our hearts and our spirit by his spirit. Okay? Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Is everybody with me on the same page tonight? Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, remember, we're talking about the position of love. And I just keep rewriting that on your notes, the position of love. Verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but, underline this, in him has always been yes. For no matter how many of the promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, underlined in. And so through his amen is spoken by us the glory of the Father, or glory of God. So all of the promises for us, say for me, are yes in Christ. Say in Christ. Now, there is a truth that you have been born of Christ. And there is a truth that you've been seated with him in heavenly realms. And there is the truth that Christ is in you. And he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But the reality is, you have to walk in Christ to tackle or to receive the benefits and the promises of God. So in other words, you can't go out there, you can't go out there cussing somebody out and chewing them out and treating them poorly and belittling them and think that you're going to receive the promises of God. Why? Because you're not walking in Christ, which is the position of love. Amen? I mean, you could have all the confessions, you could have them write them up and put them on yellow sticky things and put them on your refrigerator and on your mirror and on your car, and you can carry your Bible with you. But if you're not walking in love with, first, those in your family and those in the church, and secondly, those in the world, then guess what? You're not going to receive the things that you've been believing for, praying for, fasting for. At least not not through faith. Now, you may get some of it through grace. You may get some because of your alms, like Cornelius' house did. But man, I mean, if you want to receive consistently from God, you have to consistently walk in love, which means you're going to suffer. I'll tell you what, I've cried more the last 5 years, and I've cried as a man the whole rest of my short manhoodness. I mean, I literally have cried, like, from my gut. I used to think when guys said that they, I wept in front of the Lord, I thought, you little wussy. But you know what? It hurts when people, it hurts. And so, if you're not having any, if you're not enduring any hurt or any pain, you're not going to develop the ability to stay in the position of love we call that's perseverance. So don't think it strange that you're going through a trial with somebody. If there wasn't the pain, you wouldn't have to rely on God for the inoculation, so you wouldn't feel the pain. You feel it, but it's not as bad when you're drawing on the love of God that's within you. And when you draw on the love of God, you only activate it when you do what you know is right to do, and it's usually contrary to what you feel like doing. Bless the Lord. Come here, honey. And you don't know if she's going to stab you or not. You hug people, and are you being phony? In the world sense, you are. But in the kingdom sense, you're drawing on the power of God within you. You need the Novocaine of the Holy Ghost to do this stuff. Because sometimes it feels like, the person that you're hugging is trying to give you a root canal. You need the Novocaine of the Holy Ghost, and that's all right. If you didn't have feelings, you'd be a computer, you'd be a robot. And God didn't make you just to, yes and no, and he wanted you to be able to rely on him for the strength to do what he's called you to do. Can you say amen? All right. So all of the promises are yes and amen, which means that they're available to you. Where at, guys? In Christ. Now, I don't want you in tonight, because you could take this both ways. We're not talking about in Christ Jesus of Nazareth, okay? We're talking about in the anointing. And see, when the Bible tells you to take every thought captive according to Christ, he's talking about taking the thoughts that are contrary to God's will captive to the power of God, which is love in you. I mean, you're not gonna choose somebody out one side and down the other by the power of love. You're gonna say exactly opposite what you want to say, and you're gonna say, you know what? You're gonna find something good. You know, you sure do have nice eyes. You know, if that's all you can find about the person that's good, well, say it. But listen, if it's somebody that you're close to, they'll catch on right away, so you got to look for other things. Because every time you say, you have nice eyes, they'll be saying, you feel something different, don't you? You've got to be clever. You've got to put some effort in. Listen, you all put effort into how you're going to be really sharp with quips and rebuttals and arguments and make somebody feel bad, don't you? Of course you have in the past. Well, now you put that same effort into, well, if she says this, I'm going to tell her her hair looks good. If she says that, I'm going to tell her, are those new shoes? Praise the Lord, those look great, you know. You got to develop an arsenal. That doesn't come without effort. You put the effort into the premeditated arguments. You put the effort into, if she says, I'm going to say. If he says, I'm going to do. If he does that, that's drawing the line. See, you put the effort into that. We need to spend time in prayer and develop an arsenal of love weapons. Remember, blessed be the peacemaker, not the peacekeeper. So we make the peace. So go to Colossians chapter. Where were we just at? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Guys, I really feel this is the anointed message for today. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to begin in 6, and we're going to go through clear through verse 11. So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives. What does it say in your Bible? In Him. So we're talking about the golden ticket is receiving Jesus Christ. But getting the whole chocolate factory with all the Oompa Loompas who will do your bidding, those are angels, as a type and a shadow. That's walking in Him. So you can have your golden ticket, your one-way ticket to heaven. But listen, there's an effort to living in Him. It's not automatic. I wish it were. Now I can draw upon Him any time that I humble myself. But if I exalt myself in pride, and what I mean by exalt, try to defend myself, try to be my own keeper, try to pull myself up by my own bootstraps, you know, if I use, you know, coarseness or shrewdness or rudeness to get my way instead of relying on God to do it, then I don't receive much. Actually, God begins to oppose the proud, but He gives more grace to the humble. So the best thing I do is humble myself and walk in love. So then, just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught with overflowing thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. All right, here's an example. You have to love them, but you don't have to like them. That's the world. Okay? You have to love them, but you don't have to let them in your house. That's the world. You can forgive them, but that doesn't mean you have to trust them again. That's the world. Come on. Now, there's a level when somebody burns you two or three times that you might want to put some protection there, use some wisdom. But listen, if somebody just does something wrong to you once, I mean, don't write them off. So that's the way we've been trained. That doesn't make it right. And we call it, guys, in the church, we call it, well, brother, you got to use wisdom. No, I got to rely on the love of God. I mean, Jesus knew what was in Judas, yet He had him sitting at His table every night. Jesus knew what was in men, yet He gave Himself to them to the point that they crucified Him. So He didn't use, brother, you need to use wisdom. He did what God told him to do, to submit Himself unto death so that God could raise him up. Now, He did the ultimate sacrifice. I'm not saying you should walk into a crack house to get your brother-in-law out when he's already threatened your life. Don't do it alone anyway. Because I don't know if Jesus would raise you up. Now, if you heard from Him, do that. But If he hasn't told you to, don't. Are you hearing me? Okay. See to it, no, verse 9. For in Christ, underline that, in Christ, all of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought into fullness. Now, where is that? That's in Christ. So that means in love. Right? All right. So in Christ, you've been brought into fullness. He is head over every power and authority. So if you want him to be your Lord or to be your shepherd or to be your caretaker, to be your provider, then you need to stay in him. And to stay in him, you've got to walk in love. And I'm going to prove that to you tonight. And in Christ, you've been brought into the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you're also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. So what does that mean? You do not have to submit to your flesh any longer. That connection has been severed. You can be led by His Spirit and strengthened by His Spirit, even when your flesh is signaling something else. Because, boy, if you wait till your flesh gets in line before you do what's right, honey, you're going to die and go to hell before it happens. Because your flesh is always going to respond as flesh was programmed to. Your flesh is only supposed to react. It doesn't know that you have the ability now to respond in love. Praise the Lord. Your body was made to react. It wasn't made to respond. That means there's a pause between doing what you know you have, what you feel like doing. No, I'm going to do what's right. Can you say amen? Now listen, do not discount emotions because God created them. God has them. Emotions God created like a vehicle to move you from one place to the next. The only problem is Satan knows how to drive you with emotions just as well. He's highly skilled in that. That's why you can't be led by emotions. But boy, when the Holy Ghost leads you away and your emotions are lined up, that is a wonderful place to be. It's not every day, though. Amen? All right. Let's go to John chapter 14. And I expect that I will always grow in this. We're going to go to verse 15 through 24. Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he's going to the cross here. This is prior to his prayer in the garden. If you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, and he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands, now listen, this is it. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And what do we begin with? He's talking, if you love me, keep my commands. Now the one who keeps my commands loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Sometimes, guys, when you don't see God's will for your life, and it could simply be that you're not obeying His number one command, which is to love. And if you truly love somebody, then what they want is more important than what you want. If you truly, I mean, I still have, especially when it comes to, you know, there's two stakes. I'd left because the kids have taken what they wanted, and there's one that looks really, you know, kind of medium rare and one that looks kind of crispy. You know, I want to give Nija the crispy one. I want the medium rare, nice looking one. I mean, I struggle with that. But, you know, she doesn't struggle with that when it comes to food as much as I do. But, you know, I'm like, give me that one because that's the way we did in my family. But if I were really walking in love, I would say, honey, which one do you want? I know what she's going to say. I want the crispy one. But she really doesn't want the crispy one. But I still work on that as preferring somebody over myself, especially when it comes to cheese and steak and, you know, chocolate cake and things like that. It's good to tell on yourself, isn't it? Now listen, go to verse 24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So if you love him, you're going to obey his teaching. Now, I want to go to Mark chapter 12. You guys with me so far? Mark chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 28. Now, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and Sadducees. And in verse 28, it says, one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which are the most important? Verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength. Okay, so what that means is you let your heart, your soul, your innermost being, your thinker, and your strength be governed by love. In other words, your decisions, your emotions, your what you do with your body, what you do with your head is all supposed to be subject to the love of God. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater command than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. See, that was the form of worship of the day. Burnt offerings and sacrifices. And here this guy who was a Pharisee says, you're right. Loving, even when we're under the law of Moses, loving your brother and loving God is more important than all these sacrificial things we do. When Jesus saw that he'd answered wisely, he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. I'd underline that. You're not far from the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in heaven. The kingdom of God is in you. And when we don't walk in love, we can't access the kingdom of God. When we don't walk in love, we're applying a different set of laws to our life. Therefore, we nullify the government of the kingdom of God in our life. We're to live above the natural laws. We're to live above instinct. We're to live above carnal behavior. We're to live above self-preservation. Come on. We do that by faith, but then God's given us the ability within us. And here's the thing. Every one of us knows when we step out of love and we choose self over somebody else, we don't feel good inside. That inside is your spirit testifying with God's spirit. But you don't understand what I went through when I was a little. This happened to me and that happened to me. So I learned, well, suck it up. We all went through something. I mean, I'm not saying you just don't. If you let what that person did to you when you were little govern you the rest of your life, you'll never walk in the kingdom of God. And Jesus will never say that. You're not far from the kingdom of God. He'll never say that. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't pain. That doesn't mean it didn't twist our thoughts. That doesn't mean that it's not difficult for us to trust somebody like that person or somebody in authority again. But listen, suck it up. Praise the Lord. Listen, I'm not saying suck it up and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. I'm saying suck up the Holy Spirit and love within you so you can walk by faith in love. You know, if you got to do it with a straw to begin with, you know, I consider it like for me a big Hoover vacuum cleaner. You know, wet dry, 5-horse vacuum cleaner. Just because I need it. I'm going to pull it up from within me because that's where God's Spirit is. And the more you are hurt, the more you got to do that. Until it becomes your second nature to draw on the power of the Holy Ghost instead of drawing on self-preservation or predetermined arguments or if this happens, then that's all the farther I'm going to go. You know, Bugs Bunny, one of my superheroes, Bugs Bunny, was in this cartoon. and this I think it was Yosemite Sam drew a line in the sand, and Bugs would wipe it out with his foot, and then he'd draw another line in the sand, he'd wipe it out with his foot. See, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, if we draw a line in the sand, we got to wipe it out with love. We got to say, there is no line. I trust God in this. If you read the Psalms, that's what it's all about. God, I'm not going to vindicate myself. You vindicate me. I'm not going to judge. You judge. God, I throw myself upon your mercy. I throw myself upon your righteous judgment. I trust that you'll deliver me. I trust that you'll vindicate me. And you go toward him, and that takes faith, because you may know how to temporarily fix this situation so you don't lose or you don't hurt, but that's not the way of love. Listen, Jesus walked in so much love that he surrendered himself to ungodly men to be beaten, to be humiliated, to be crucified. And the Bible says that he was raised from the dead because of his reverent submission. He submitted to God's will for his life, and God's will for your life is to walk in love. Now, that doesn't mean when somebody slaps you, you know, the adrenaline's not going to go off and, you know, you want to raise. Yes, just not too many years ago, I had a guy up against the wall and my fist was cocked back, and because he did some wrong things. And he said, "Brother, you're supposed to be a pastor." I said, "I wasn't always a pastor, brother." And then I realized what I just said that. I said, "Oh, my goodness, I got to." And I ran and I said, "I got to go." And I hold on love. I mean, we all have that. There is no sin, no temptation that is uncommon. That means we all deal with it in a certain way. I mean, you may be subversive about it, like write little letters and, you know, put white powder in the mail to your, I don't know how you do it, but people do. Other people are like me, they're just right in your face, you know. Well, that's not God. Lord told me several years ago that I could negotiate without being shrewd or rude or using fear or intimidation to do so. And that was quite a faith journey for me. I can still negotiate without being rude or crude or using fear or intimidation, because those are all tools that Satan uses. Christians are not supposed to use those. I wasn't always a pastor, brother. All right, go to 1 John. We're getting there. You know, Wednesday night is, you know, not a wham, bam, we're out of here type of deal. Wednesday night is when we get into the Scriptures and we find out what God is saying about a particular subject. It's called Bible study. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Okay, guys, we just talked about it. So what is his commands? That you love God and you love your neighbor. Okay, right? Those are his commands. So if you want to know his will for his life, if you want to know him fully as you are fully known, then you've got to walk in love. And when you don't walk in love, we're going to find out you don't know these things very well. Whoever says, "I know him," but does not do what he commands is a liar, and that truth is not in the person. Listen, you could have the truth of God in you and not know which way you're supposed to go today. That's what we're talking about. Accessing the kingdom of God right now, today. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him, that's where all the promises are yes and amen, must live as Jesus did. Now, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you've heard, yet I'm writing to you a new command, and its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in light but hates his brother and sister, that word hate, guys, doesn't mean to be odious. It means to not give the proper honor. To dishonor or disdain. That means that you think less of them than what you should. Okay? Anyone who claims to be in the light but thinks less of their brother and sister or treats them differently than they should is still in darkness. And anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in light and the truth, and there's nothing in them that makes him stumble. But anyone who hates or disdains his brother or sister is in darkness and walks around in darkness. They do not know where they are going because darkness has blinded them. And the truth is, you could be a born-again child of God and walk around in blindness. And if you read the Romans chapter 1, you could be a born-again, spirit-filled Christian and walk in blindness and eventually walk out of the presence of God. How does it? It doesn't usually start with you being mad at God. It starts with you being mad with somebody who loves God or who's trying to love God. Sometimes it's good to give people the grace that you claim you want in your life. Give them the benefit of the doubt that you claim you want, given to you. Sometimes it's really good that because we reap in the measure that we sow. And that's specifically talking about judging somebody else's actions. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You guys doing okay? We're going to go to verse 7. So the position of love is in Christ. And that position has light. That position has power. That position has knowledge. That position has protection. That position has provision. That position has it makes it easy to access healing too, guys. 1 John chapter 4, dear friends, verse 7, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, you can know about God, but if you want to know Him right now, what's His will for me right now? What does He want me to do right now? You've got to be walking in love with your brother or your sister. And He's specifically using this phrase because He's writing to the church. Now, in Matthew and Luke, when He's talking about love your neighbor as yourself, He's talking about people who are not in the church. That's your neighbor. And if you go into that, it gives the parable of the guy who got beaten and robbed and left alongside the road. He was a Gentile, and a Jew loved on him enough to take care of him and then pay for his restoration as an innkeeper, poured oil on his wounds and bandaged him. So that's talking about somebody not in Christ. Now we're talking about somebody in Christ, okay? So not only do you have to love people outside in the world, but you especially have to love those in the church. Okay, praise the Lord. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. So are you getting something here? That the power of God and God's presence in our life is incomplete if we don't love somebody. Love the one you're with. Come on. It's easy to love people you're not with. Because, then your imagination can kick in. But when people are with you, now you got to love them right where they're at with all their weaknesses and the boogers hanging out their nose and whatever it is. The meanness, the sharpness, the things that you expect of them that are probably shouldn't be expected anyway. Because we tend to set the bar too high for our spouses, don't we? All right, I better quit. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. Now that's what we started in the very beginning. We want God's love, God's power to be effective in our lives. We want it to be available in our lives. We want to be able to access it and utilize it. But guys, if we're not walking in love one with another, we're shooting our own foot. Verse 13 says, this is how we know that we live in Him and He in us. God has given us His Spirit. And in verse 16 says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. See, we got to rely on that Spirit of love in us to love. And if we're not walking in love with them, we know something's wrong on the inside. And we could begin to live two different lives here. One that says we love God and we worship, but doesn't know how to walk in love with somebody else that we're close to. And when that happens, you know what? We're all messed up on the inside. It's like weakening the foundation of a seven-story building. Everything's good, you know, ground level up, but without a foundation, that seven-story building's going over. Amen? All right. Verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. See, that's the promise in Mark chapter 16. So how do we go from the golden ticket into inheriting, you know, the whole chocolate factory with all the Oompa Loompas? How do we do that? How do we go from, you know, being in salvation but then walking out of salvation? How do we see the kingdom of God? How do we inherit the kingdom of God? How do we access the power of God? Well, it's one way. It's through the law of love, first with God and then with the church and then with those outside of the church. Praise God. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. And this is how God's love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. How is that? We have to draw on God's love to go to our cross. You're not going to be able to make it through the garden, let alone the crucifixion. You can't go through the suffering that men will give you in the church, just because of the way that you're made up. You won't be able to go through this without drawing on the love of God. Jesus couldn't do it. He was strengthened in His Spirit. Amen. Now, verse 18 says this. There is no fear in love, but perfected love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made complete or perfect in love. And I want to put this to you. If you walk away from a situation and you feel condemnation and guilt because you didn't say something, or you did say something, or you should have said that better, you know, if you sacrificed yourself in love, you wouldn't have those questions. Should I say that again? If you sacrificed yourself in love, you wouldn't be asking yourself those questions. An old wise man in the kingdom of God used to say, if you're going to err on the side of love. Err on giving too much. Err on extending yourself too much. If you're going to make a mistake, you know, give more than what you should give. Because then God's going to take care of you. But if you reason the thing out and you say, well, I'm going to just give a little bit, and I'm going to protect myself, whether it's, you know, conversation or helping somebody, err on the side of love. Because see, then your own heart won't condemn you. Err on the side of being kind. Err on the side of giving more than what you maybe could afford to give. Err on the side of risking, you know, being hurt all over again. That's why pastors shut down. Because they get hurt so many times, they finally say, I'm not going to let anybody in. Well, I keep telling Pastor Nija over and over again, I'm going to say it till Jesus comes back. You know, we have to put ourselves out there. We can't live in a bubble. We have to get into people's lives. You do too. You've got to put yourself out there to be hurt. That's the suffering that Jesus calls on you. He's not calling you to suffer with cancer or poverty. He's telling you, you're going to suffer some pain and some agony, because people are going to say things and they're going to do things that don't sit well with you. And you got to smile and give anyway. Praise the Lord. Now listen, verse 19 says, we love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. And that word is not like we think hate, it's to despise. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen can't love God whom they have not seen. Now, you can't love Him in the fullness. Do you understand? And He's given us this command. Anyone who loves God must love their brother and sister. Boy, it doesn't get any more clear than that. Now, I want to bring it one more chapter. 1 John chapter 5, and I want to bring this around for you, because we're going to talk a little bit about this Sunday. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. This is the selfish reason for why you want to walk in love. For we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Now stop right there and look up. The whole book of 1 John is talking about two concepts. The first concept is Gnosticism, where it says everything that's material is bad. Everything that is fleshy is bad. Well, that can't be because Jesus came in the flesh, okay? The second concept is this concept of walking in love. So this sin, in the context of the book of 1 John, is talking about the sin of not walking in love, okay? So we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. That should be motivation for you to want to learn how to walk in love. To be in a position where Satan can't harm you. Where Satan cannot touch your body. Where Satan cannot affect your mind. Where Satan cannot frustrate you. And that is only found in this position of love in Christ Jesus. Yes, the promises are for you in Christ Jesus. But see, when you walk in love, He not only gives you access to the promises, He literally puts you in a position where Satan can't touch you. So that is why sometimes in the Word of Faith movement, we've gone so far and erred, and when somebody is sick, when somebody gets attacked in their finances, we say, well, what did you do? Well, hold on. It comes from this. You know, Satan's going to attack you, but if it starts to hit you, we want to check our love walk. Because if you're walking in love, Satan can't touch you. If you're walking in love, Satan can't touch you or your household. Because that banner of God that goes before you and that glory that is your rear guard and the angels on your right and left, they're for your household. We're going to talk about that on Sunday. They're for your household, those who live within your house. Love is untaught. It's hard and it hurts. But boy, I'll tell you what, it does get easier. You just get hit with new levels and new devils. But it's the same love you draw on. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the Word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.